I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Curzon Podcast, where we will be unpacking Sebastian Schiffer's one-take wonder, Victoria, released last week. Hello, I'm Sam Howlett, and I'm joined by Helen Seymour, making her triumphant return after a week's hiatus.
Did you miss me?
We did, yeah, it's very sad.
Hello.
We have a third member this week,
Hello.
Jenna Hobbs,
Hi.
Making her third appearance.
I know, I feel like I'm united with the whole team, because I've been with both of you separately
yeah.
now.
Full squad.
Yeah.
Full squad.
Finally.
So this week we're talking about Victoria. It is a German film, won a lot of German film awards. Most notable thing we're going to be talking about is it's all done in one take, but hopefully there's a bit more to it than that. So, we're going to start with a question this week. Mm-hmm. We don't normally do this. So this is from Maxwell Hubbard on Twitter, at Maxwell Hubbard. He says, loved Victoria. A masterful technical achievement aside, it's a tense, thrilling drama of emotions and hinges on the superb Costa, the actress. My question would be, is it a danger that technical achievements potentially overshadow the film itself? Not that I think that this is the case with Victoria, but see Avatar, Gravity, etc. as potential examples. So his question is, the fact that the film's all done in one take, does that detract from what you're actually watching, from the film itself? So were you at any time, were you distracted by the fact it was one take? Do you think that the fact it's done in one take is more impressive than the actual, like, acting, plot, screenplay?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I actually kept forgetting it was all done in one take, and I'm okay. being annoyed with myself, because I was like, no, I need to keep aware of okay. how clever this is, because I'm getting too wrapped up in the story and not realising. But then that's also a real credit to the story. It's amazing.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, I forgot as well. I kept forgetting that it was all done in one take, and I thought, oh, there's going to be a cut, and I wouldn't have even noticed it, and mm-hmm. it would be a thing. But I think it's a good point, though, because, like, he brought up Gravity. I really liked Gravity, but I think the script could have been better.
Okay.
And I feel like maybe they took their eye off the ball with the script a little bit, because the technical thing
is so... So, focusing on the...
Yeah.
And same with Avatar. I really enjoyed watching Avatar in the cinema, and then I watched it at home, and I was like, what is this?
Underwhelming.
Yeah, really underwhelming.
Yeah, I think when it starts to strip away those things, then you start to look at what's really... Like, the real important thing to a film is, like, the script.
Yeah,
like, the story.
More important than the story.
Like, so... But I agree with him. I really loved it, and I don't think this happened with Victoria, but I do think it's something that you need to be careful of.
Okay.
And I think as well, it happens when people are talking about Victoria after the film. Like,
right.
not necessarily, like, when people are watching it, but when they come out, all people have said to me is, oh my God, it's amazing they did it in one take. And I'm like, yeah, but the acting was, like, astonishing.
Yeah.
Think about all of that. Yeah, so maybe.
Okay.
What did you think?
Well, I'm kind of in two minds about this question, because I think that, yeah, I did enjoy the film. It's a great thriller, great acting, as you said. But for me, the most impressive part was the one take. I thought at the end of the day, I'd seen that story before, I think.
Really?
I think so.
But had you seen it done that well, that honestly?
Probably not. I guess, I mean, yeah, it is a very remarkable film, but I do think it's in itself, it's slightly overshadowed by its own, what happened during production, rather than the actual film in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you don't think it's done gimmickly or anything, the one take? it's there to serve the story rather than be a talking point.
Yeah, I felt so involved.
Okay.
Because, like, scenes when, like, they get in the car.
Mm.
And because it didn't cut to the outside of the car.
Yeah.
And you were just in it. I even felt car sick.
Mm.
Because it was so real.
Mm.
And I get car sick.
I felt really sick at the beginning of the film, actually, in the nightclub.
Shaky.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Really
that
sick.
Was so... I really think it serves the film. Did they actually... Because you know with Birdman...
They did. This was genuinely... Birdman is not done in one take.
Yeah.
Birdman probably has more editing than most films, to be honest.
Yeah.
This was completely done in one take. They did it 3 or 4 times overall. And they ended up using the second version, the second take, out of all the versions they did. So, I mean, I think the thing with doing a film in one take is that it's not a new thing. It's not a new phenomenon, like... Hitchcock did it in Rope, although that has actually a couple of sneaky edits. Then you've got Russian Ark, which did it as well. We talked about Birdman, which doesn't actually do it, but does. Yeah, I think it does quite a large chunk of it. It's one take. And then we talked Gravity, the opening sort of 10, 15 minutes is all one take. Mm. The Revenant, which came out earlier this year, has a very long take in the beginning. Mm. But I think this is definitely the best use of the one take because it's not like it's just set inside. They go in a club, outside on the street, into a car, onto a roof,
downstairs.
Yeah,
I think I read it had 22 locations in total, which is really impressive.
The amount of time must have taken to work out and map exactly what they're doing. And just especially when they're in public. Because filming in public's horrible because you get idiots like seeing it. So they must have really carefully had been on walkie-talkies like, okay, like another crew member, like, okay, they're going around the corner, make sure it's all ready. And just there's really complex, like thriller scenes, without going into too much detail about the sort of the crime element of this, which is quite complexly filmed, and they do that still having the one take is really phenomenally impressive.
Must have been so much fun to be a part of filming
that.
Definitely.
Yeah,
it must have been such an achievement.
So let's actually get into actually what the film's about. So the plot. So we start off in a nightclub. We see Victoria, played by Leia Costa. She's a Spanish girl from Madrid, on her own in the club. She's sort of trying to make friends. You see that she's kind of alone in Berlin.
Yeah, she's quite a quirky girl, isn't
she? Yeah, she's quite quirky, and she tries to sort of talk to a couple of people in the club. It doesn't really work. And then eventually she befriends these sort of group of, should we say, rowdy Berliners?
Yeah, yeah. They're quite unsettling, I think. You don't know at the beginning.
At the beginning, you're a bit like, oh, stay away from those.
Yeah, and then very quickly you kind of warm up to them, as she does.
Definitely. I think, for the first 5 minutes, I was a bit like, oh, these guys are...
Gonna get you in trouble. Yeah.
I think it was the rooftop scene, which was like, I really like these guys.
Yeah.
I hope they stay with her for the whole thing. What did you think, Helen?
Yeah, because it was so real, I felt... so much like, oh my goodness, get away from these people. But also it felt really reminiscent of when you're walking home.
Definitely.
And then like a group of people come and you just
you're all right, what are you doing?
Yeah, you just think, oh my gosh, like, please
leave me alone, let me go home.
But I think for her, she's kind of a little bit bored.
Yeah.
Like, she's in Berlin, she's kind of bored, she doesn't know anyone. Mm. And they're kind of funny.
They are.
And
they're kind of charming as well.
Yeah, and I don't think she's naive.
No.
To it. I think she knows what she's doing.
Well, they say, oh, look, here's our car. And she's like, from the off, she knows that's not their car.
Yeah.
But she kind of just plays along because she's having fun.
Yeah. So I think she's just kind of out to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I warmed up to them as well.
Definitely. And I think this thing about Victoria being a girl who sort of just wants to have fun in Berlin, which she's not, I guess it's kind of thing that she's maybe doing a gap year or whatever. Or she's just taken some time out from her life in Madrid.
Yeah.
And she's gone to have this adventure in Berlin, but it's not really happened. So this is her time to have this adventure, but it just goes from one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
Without spoiling the film too much, that it does. She gets dragged into this kind of the underworld of Berlin, shall we say?
And it's so clever how it shows that in stages, like the tiny transgressions that are made at the beginning, and then how it escalates.
Well, that opening scene where she meets the group of guys actually takes a really long time in comparison to most films because of the one take, I suppose.
Well, I think as well. See, this is one of the things that didn't entirely work for me every time. The film's improvised, essentially, the dialogue. I think there's, like, the script is about 12 pages and is pretty much just plot.
Yeah.
So the dialogue's improvised, which does work. I mean, it is very good, and they're very talented young actors, I think, to be able to do this. However, I think there are times when it felt like if this was a film which had regular editing, they'd edit out a lot of the dialogue, because some of it goes on for a while. And you know if... when people do improvise, mm-hmm. their thought process is just keep going. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I felt like this has gone on for a bit too long because it's improvised and they need to have it all as one take.
Do you think that's because you knew it was improvised, though?
Probably. Well, I think just in general, I just thought this dialogue's gone on for a long time. I think it's just the earlier stages where
their first meeting.
Yeah, just they're out on the street and they go up to the roof. I mean, it's very naturalistic.
That's why I loved it, because it just felt like any night that any of us could have at any point where you're just chatting and it's kind of a bit rubbish.
Everyone's slightly tipsy.
And you're kind of just seeing these two people, this group of people, but particularly her and Sonnet, who's played by Frederick Lau, kind of falling a little bit for each other, but you're not sure.
It's kind of flirtatious, but sort of drunk flirtatious. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of... It's supposed to be kind of ham-fisted at times, but it wasn't all the way through. It's just there was like one or two moments where I thought this could do with a bit. I mean, obviously they couldn't edit it because they wanted to do this one take thing, but it could have been cut down.
See, I thought that because it did kind of go on in places, that is just what those kind of meetings are like. Because she says a load of times, I need to go home, and then they're going to move on somewhere, but they don't. They kind of hang about, and that's like when you're with a group of people, that is just what happens. All the time.
Yeah.
So I have to say, I didn't feel like this needs an edit.
No, I completely get that, So this film takes a kind of shift then, do you think, from kind of slice of life, Berlin nightlife, to a kind of thriller. What did you think of that shift? Did the shift work for you? Did it feel sudden, or did it feel, because one of you said it sort of felt like a natural stage of progression.
Yeah, it did to me.
Okay.
Because they go into a shop and they steal some...
Yeah.
Some drinks.
So everything escalates. Early on. Yeah.
And then that's just...
Yeah, they're flirting with the line of what's okay and what's not okay all night. Okay. And I think from Victoria's character, you get that she's restless and lonely.
Yeah.
And she kind of tells you later on in her story that she's been quite restricted through her life. And this is her chance to kind of get out there.
I think I found it slight... There were times when it does tread on the border between over the top and keeping in with this sort of naturalistic realism. I think it's the quote-unquote villains of the film.
Okay.
That scene when they're in this garage and you meet some of the gangsters. And I thought they were... It didn't quite go over that line, but it could have easily gone into line of, okay, it's a stereotypical gangster, the bad guy, the baddie. And I thought, this is getting close to removing me from the film. That's been so realistic so far.
But I thought that's when the moments of humour came. Because at times, and there were, I think, two or three times where I was reminded of Four Lions.
Really?
Yeah. They were like...
Wow.
Like...
go with that. I'm intrigued.
You know when... So they're in the car park.
Yeah.
And I found it really funny at a point because they're rehearsing an act that they're going to do. And there's a... mess up with the door.
Yeah.
And they're going, oh no,
I kind of get that,
And then they go, oh, I promise that won't happen with the door again. That won't happen with the door again. And I was like, that's Four Lions. Like, it reminded me so much of this group of people who are like trying to...
Be hard men.
Yeah,
hard
and then it's not really working. Not,
Okay, I kind of get that. But yeah, I think it was just in that one character of the gang boss that was just slightly...
You didn't like him?
Not really.
I found him really funny. I mean, it was like a caricature. I suppose that I can see what you mean.
I just think this film didn't need caricatures because they were real people.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you've got gangster with his slicks back, bleach blonde hair and his leather suits. And they've all got shotguns. I was a bit like, where are we?
It escalates very quickly from a very slow, kind of gentle pace into, okay, we're right in the middle of this now.
It's now a crime.
Yeah. I can see what you mean.
But I think the important thing is that all the other characters remain their characters throughout the sort of second half. If we call it a film of two halves, the character motivations, I think they make sense. And I think I've heard a couple of reviews where, it doesn't make sense that Victoria would do that. But I think it does.
I think it makes sense.
That she goes with that.
Yeah.
And her to say, I'll go along with you, that didn't bother me at all.
No, me neither. And I think she also doesn't know quite the severity of what she's getting herself into at that point.
Well, I think it's important. She doesn't speak German.
Yeah.
Yes, which is so clever.
Yeah.
Because we know so much. We can sort of
see
the future.
We know a lot that she doesn't.
And dramatic irony.
Yeah. But you can really understand why she goes along with it. Because you're like, well, she doesn't know all of this stuff.
That's important, I think. So a lot of people, working in the cinema, a lot of people ask, oh, what's Victoria about? And you describe it to them. I've had a couple of people go, oh, foreign language? Nah, not for me.
Yeah, happens a lot.
To be honest, most of the film's in English.
It is.
Which was a surprise to me.
Me too.
Yeah.
because she speaks Spanish, they speak German, then they find the common language of English. They speak that to each other.
Yeah, it's a lot of English. Yeah.
Also, that's, this actually disqualified it from the best foreign language film at the Oscars, because most of it's not in the foreign language.
Well, I can, because there is a lot of English.
Yeah, I
just think it's a shame that if it was going to be nominated for something at the Oscars, why wasn't it nominated for anything else?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the way Oscars work. We've talked, so that's the overall plot. What about the acting you've said you're impressed by?
I love the acting. I love the acting so much. I thought it was so natural, so well done, so believable. And I think it's a lot more like theatre acting, just because obviously they must have rehearsed it and then brought it in, and they weren't being given direction as it went along. They weren't being told, no, do that again. It doesn't feel right. Yeah. It was just these people living this moment, and I just loved it.
I completely agree. I loved it. I always engage way more when it's improvised. Like, I didn't know it was all improvised, but I was thinking, this is so real.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that it was. I really think it's the way to go. Yeah. Like, I think it's really hard because there's some amazing writing out there, but it's that whole thing of, like, acting is really hard. It just is really hard to make a line that you know sound new and fresh.
And real.
Real. And this does it so well. I was so engaged and engrossed.
Yeah. I think, and the guys, they kind of all have these weird names. It's Blinker, Boxer, Fuss, Sonny. Yeah. I really wanted to spend the night with them. I would have gone along with them.
Would you?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. We wouldn't have done.
But that's
kind of
a whim.
I reckon I would have got so far and then.
Well, Jenna, you're going to Berlin next week, aren't you?
Yeah, I am actually.
Wow.
Well, I've got a bit of a warning to behave myself. Don't want to end up like Victoria. But yeah, I mean, it looked like they were having fun. Don't know.
Yeah. No, that's. I agree. Yeah, the acting is what carries the film, I think.
Yeah.
Because going back to Max Hubbard's question, that it's a film of a technical achievement, which I think overshadows it. But then I think, having watched it and thought about it more, it's a film of actors as well. And it's the perfect balance between technical achievement and acting achievement, which I think you said maybe was slightly lost in Gravity.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
There's a line where she comes out of the space thing and she's like, oh, cloudy with a chance of space junk.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Or something. It annoys me every time.
Okay.
She, like, makes a joke about the weather when she's in space. And I just thought, you wouldn't say that out loud.
Do you think this film would have been as good if it was made more conventionally with edits and...
Well, the director said that he's made a cut with edits in it because he had to as a backup plan.
Yeah.
And he hates it. It's rubbish. So, I don't know.
I think that's just what I meant when I said that the technical achievement is more impressive than the plot, because I think ultimately it's a crime film that it's not that new in terms of what happens, the one shot makes it, and the combination of that with the acting is amazing. I also really love the opening shot in the club, because club scenes are quite hard to do in films, but this really works, where you can't hear what anyone's saying because the music's so loud. There's this bright strobe light, and that goes on for ages, and it was really hard to watch.
It was so hard to watch. Oh. Me too.
I really wanted to close my eyes, but I was like, no, don't miss the one take.
You can't blink.
Yeah, no.
There should be a sign on the door. Please don't blink during this film, or you'll lose the illusion of reality.
That club scene was amazing. I really loved it. The colours in it were incredible. And it just felt like, you know, I'm sure quite a lot of people have been to a nightclub in Europe, and it felt like every nightclub you've been to in Europe.
Kind of looks very grotty.
Yeah.
Every now and then you look around and think, oh, I shouldn't be here.
But I'm loving it.
and the bouncer's definitely kicking someone out.
Yeah. Actually, there's another scene in the club at another point, and that's a great scene.
That was really nice. Yeah, I think that might be my favourite scene as well. Like a sort of circular return to where she began. Yeah,
and it's really beautifully shot and done with the editing, with the music. It's incredible.
Yeah. How did you think Berlin came off in the film?
Beautiful.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to Berlin next week and I've never been before, so it's given me a bit of a sneak peek into some of the things that you don't just see on, like, the image search.
Definitely.
Yeah, it looked great. It looked like a really fun city.
I think it's kind of a love letter to Berlin, in a way. I mean, there are parts where it's not all touristy and old attractions. It is quite a real urban city, but I think it is in a very positive light, ultimately.
Yeah, and
The real urban city.
Yeah, and it's showing all the grotty bits and the grimy bits.
Yeah, it's not shying away from...
Hey, this is what we embrace. This is,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Should we do some reviews from the public? So this is Dangerous Brown says, compelling, intense and daring. People rave about how remarkable the one-take nature of this film is and the outstanding achievement in filmmaking it proves. However, its true accomplishment is that it's so more than what could be a gimmick. The acting is raw and believable. It's intense from the very start. Waiting on that cut intensifies through the plot. Most films with a running time close to 140 minutes would leave me annoyed. This is far from the case. One of the films of the year.
Yeah.
Agree.
You agree?
100% of the way.
I could have written that.
Yeah.
Really dangerous. That's, my film of the year so far. Definitely. It's going to take a lot to
Mine
be
too.
It.
I love
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
I love it so much.
And also, I think we've all spoken about how we don't like films that are too long. And this is a long film. But I think that's really part of the beauty of it as well.
I was all right with it.
Yeah?
Yeah, being that long. Mm. I didn't mind.
Well, for me, I really needed the toilet. So that didn't help.
They never go to the loo.
I was going to bring that up.
Actually,
in this
that's
whole film,
true.
They never go to the bathroom. But it means in real life, though, it didn't either. Imagine filming the camera through. Really sorry, but I need to go to the loo. Can you stop filming for me?
I think Victoria's the only one that wouldn't get a chance. To go to the loo. Or Sonia as well.
Yeah, because
the others have
much
a little bit of time off screen.
Yeah. They're essentially in shot the whole way through.
Yeah,
that must
be
quite horrible for an actor. Like, okay, you're going to be constantly on screen for 2.5 hours. And everything you do...
Could you imagine getting 3/4 of the way through and messing up and then being like, guys, I'm really sorry, I'm stuck again.
Especially improvising.
Just like calling someone by their real name.
Yeah.
Like,
Have you ever watched EastEnders Live?
Yeah.
They do that. That happens now. I think Ian calls... No, one of the characters calls the characters by the actress's name. And it's great. And her face
just
like, no.
Your worst nightmare is an actor, isn't it? Oh no, everyone is watching.
We've got another review by someone simply referred to as DW. A pulsing, nervy thriller that goes well beyond its impressive conceit. One of the best films of 2015.
Yeah.
All these seem pretty in line with each other. That it's one of the best films of the year so far.
Is that DW from Arthur?
That is Arthur's sister, Dora Winifred. Yeah. Was her name. Oh, yeah.
Nice to hear from you. You've grown up quite a lot.
I've got one bit of trivia to add before we go full spoiler.
Go for it.
There's a bit where she's driving the car and they're screaming at her which way to go. Mm. And they shout, no, you're going the wrong way. That was real. The actress turned the wrong corner and was about to go into unfilmable territory. And one of the voices you hear screaming is the director who's in the back.
God, that would have been so tense. Going,
no, you're going the wrong way, turn left. Yeah. And her going, oh, I'm sorry, is...
That was just such a tense
that
part
was
of the
so
film
real,
as well.
Yeah. Though. That was so, so real.
Yeah. When when people are shouting at you, you're like, stop shouting at me, okay? Yeah. One person. Yeah. Everyone calm down. Yeah. Yeah. The more you shout, the more I'm going to do it wrong. And when the car didn't start. When the car didn't start. Oh,
you
no.
You see that in the trailer.
Okay.
I'm just thinking because we didn't say
I mean, that could be at any point. A car doesn't start at some point.
Yeah.
It's the most tense experience I've had in the cinema.
And doesn't she say something like, the car is not going? Her turn of phrase with it is wonderful.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of turn of just sort of slightly broken English turns of phrases that actually work really well.
It works so well. She's like banging on the seat. And she calls out to someone else to help. And her voice is so scared.
Yeah.
And she's like, And it was so real. It was like, that is... what you do if you messed up and you had to tell someone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love you were saying before about the fact that it's not or it's spoken in English between people who that's not their first language. And I love that, the miscommunications.
Yeah.
And it's the way you really do interact with someone when you don't 100% know each other's
languages. Don't know who they are,
yeah. And that was great in that tense moment where you're just like, ah!
Absolutely. Anything to add before we go into spoiler territory, start talking about how the ending of the film and what sort of direction the film takes?
Just go and see it. Please
go. Run to the cinema. Make sure you wee before.
I think you have to see it in the cinema as well.
Oh, you do.
Because it is available on Curzon Home Cinema, which you absolutely, you know, go watch it on that if you can. But also, I think see it in the cinema.
Yeah, I would.
Sit on a big screen.
If you don't have a chance, if you're not near a Curzon, watch it on Curzon Home Cinema. Yeah.
Because the story is good enough to hold.
Yes, so I think gripping. It will. You said that Avatar is not as impressive on the small screen.
Yeah.
I think this would be.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm getting the DVD in a minute.
But I think if you can, go to a cinema
to see it.
Yeah, go to a Curzon.
And just watch it, full stop. Get in there and see it before it goes.
Yeah.
And it's an artificial eye Curzon, really.
It is.
We should support that. Right, so we're now going to go into spoiler territory, so if you haven't seen the film, turn off, and then return once you have. Okay, so the film kind of, so yeah, we said it's sort of in two halves, so eventually there's a kind of a bank heist sort of plotline going on. Then they go to a club to celebrate, essentially, and then it all goes wrong from there. So how did the order of those events, how was that for you, the way that sort of transpired in towards the final sort of chase sequence?
Really good for me. When they went back in the club, I thought it might end there.
I thought it was going to end in the club.
I thought, oh, okay, so it's just going to be a story about a girl who kind of has this weird night.
Yeah.
And then they go, and the club gets really messy, and
they're naked.
And they're,
I wonder if that was scripted.
And the doctor's going, no, put the clothes on.
And they're on cocaine, like they take drugs, they're all really like the adrenaline is going and they're kind of losing it. And then they walk back up to where they realize that they've left
Foose
in the car, and they're like,
and then I think we've all been Foose at one point.
We've all been left in the car.
We've all been left in the car. Sit up in the morning, and then there's police raiding. We've got, what is going on? I love it that Foose has no idea what's happening.
I know.
Literally another choice.
His birthday as well.
Yeah.
I forgot about him as well, though.
Me too.
Because they forget about him.
Yeah. I completely forgot about
him. I actually thought they'd left him in the cafe.
Yeah.
I didn't realise
he was in the car. Yeah.
But the way the camera just goes to where they park the car, and then it's all police, and they go,
Your stomach drops, doesn't it? Because by this point, you like them so much. Like, I know they've done bad things. I get that.
No, yeah.
But I really like them. And I wasn't sure I was going to like that group of guys.
Yeah.
And you just don't want it to go wrong for them.
Definitely. Absolutely. So, what did you think about... So, there's a kind of a shootout, which I think was probably the hardest scene to film, perhaps. Just because...
Yeah.
What I love is that... So... Sonny has, he's bleeding in the end of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
He must have had a blood pack on his person throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
And he had to, run without trying to make sure that it didn't burst or something.
Well, the whole time he was riding the bike, all of that stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of physicality to his character. And to him to make sure, that's just another additional thing that made this so hard to film.
Yeah.
It paid off. Absolutely
Paid
off.
Definitely. When you find out that he's been shot at the end...
Yeah.
Oh, it was so heartbreaking, because you actually don't know for a really long time after the shootout.
Well, and then you see some blood on his hand, and you're like,
is that from someone else?
And then it's not until he's in the hotel, and he's on the chair, going...
The last 10 minutes are really quite horrible, actually, because first we have the moment where they steal the baby.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, you know Victoria, you know it's not...
She's not going to do anything to that baby,
But it's still quite a horrible scene to watch them take this baby, as a shield, in a way.
But then, because people laughed. What I mean, slightly Four Lions, because he gets in the flat and then he goes, "You've got a baby! Why did you let me in the flat with a baby? And I thought that was so much like the Four Lions humour.
Really?
Yeah. Because he's, of course they let him in, because
he has a gun.
He has a gun.
I guess that's kind of absurd. I kind of love
the morality that you see of him at that point. And he's not a bad guy. He's done a bad thing. And he's like, why would you let me in here? There's a little baby. I could have gone to someone else's flat.
I think that's really darkly funny.
Yeah.
Because he had a gun, but he doesn't realise what he's doing.
That's interesting reading. I was just so, at that point, clinched that I didn't find anything
when they
funny.
Then take the baby, it's really dark and horrible, but there were these people laughed.
I guess so, yeah, maybe, yeah. So yeah, that happens, and then they get to this hotel, and you see, and Sonny's essentially dying on the bed, bleeding to death.
Yeah,
and you've seen that before.
Crisp white sheets.
But
so
this
white is
really uncomfortable to watch. Like, I really didn't want to watch him dying.
Mm-mm,
it so felt very horrible, and there's a lot of blood as well.
Yeah, it's so real.
It's so real, and it's so heartbreaking. And Leia Costa just does the most incredible job at that point.
Did you cry?
I cried my eyes out. I was so sad at that point. Yeah, because, I mean, and you see on the news that both the other guys have
died.
And then, obviously, he's dying and he... Oh, it's just so heartbreaking.
It just
so
all went so wrong. It just went so wrong.
Yeah.
It went south very fast for all of them. Yeah. And then, so the film ends with Victoria taking the money. And he said, oh, no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
Wasn't she supposed to open the cafe at 7, though?
I was thinking
that. I wonder, where the hell is... Where is Victoria? And then she turns up in blood.
And
like
on the floor from...
Vomit on the floor.
Yeah.
There's some coffee that... What was it? Cacao?
Krakow.
Oh, yeah. It's hot chocolate.
Oh, it's hot chocolate? There's some undrunk hot chocolate on the counter.
Yeah.
What is going on? Yeah. Victoria shows up covered in blood. And loads of money. Don't ask.
I have a passport.
But I love the end. My favourite thing of it was when they do long shots on walking away.
Yeah. That's I think it felt like that's the only time the camera doesn't move as well.
Yeah.
The camera's finally... The camera's like, I need to sit down.
Yeah.
And so are we, as the audience, like, we need just
that's the
we
first
need to just
time
sit
I
down.
Breathe, like, I was like, because it's
down,
a wide shot, the air, it's morning, you feel like you can breathe
the
again.
The night is over.
But for me, it could have ended earlier, it could have been more ambiguous whether she took the money or not.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been happy with that.
I wanted to know she was alright, though. Like, and I think she will be. For me, like, she took that money and she's going to leave Berlin.
She's going to be a piano player in Spain.
Do you reckon? Yeah.
I don't know.
I
or she's going to go on more adventures.
She's going to be okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. She could be scarred or the police will eventually work it out.
I think she might get found. She might
get found.
Yeah. I don't know. I tell you what, if I was a cop, I'd find her.
Are those cops that let them go, though? Yeah,
idiots.
When they... Yeah.
Yeah, you might be very safe in Berlin if that's the level of policing. Spin-off with Fuse. I want to see that.
Yeah. What happened?
I want to see the same film, but all from Fuse's point of view. I want to see him wake up in the car, surrounded by police, like, with the worst hangover of his life. Just, what is going on?
That would be the worst hangover of your life. Oh. What have they done now?
It's my birthday. Poor Fuse. So anything to add before we finish, before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think we kind of didn't go over a little bit about the relationship between Sonnet and Victoria back in the... and I think it's
in
just
the cafe.
In the cafe. It's so tender and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think the connection that they found with each other is a lot of the drive of the film for her, because she's very lonely and she's met this guy and he's a bit exciting and a bit dangerous. And yeah, and I think that's... It's beautiful. It's beautifully done by those two.
When she plays piano...
Yeah, my God. Yeah.
And really well.
I don't know if that's her or if that's dubbed.
I think it's her.
I think it's her. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's very, very good then if that's her. Yeah. And yeah, it's just the most, it's a beautiful scene. And I think their relationship was something that really hooked me as I watched the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, kept me going.
5 out of 5 from Helen.
5 out of 5?
Yeah, definitely 5 out of 5.
10 out of 10. 100 out of 100.
Film of the year.
Yeah.
I think I'd go 4.5 out of 5.
Okay. I know you weren't as enamoured by it.
There's just a couple of little niggles I have. Mm-hmm. Overall, I mean, I did really admire the sort of prowess of this technical achievement. And yeah, you convinced me with the acting and the relationships. There's just the couple of things I mentioned there that just slightly hold it back from being perfect. But I do. I think you're not going to see a film like this for a while.
Yeah.
So definitely go and watch this film and support it.
Definitely.
Review us on iTunes and like us on the SoundCloud.
Nailed it, Helen. Perfect. And tweet if you've got any questions or anything you want to tell us. Tweet us at Curzon Cinemas with the hashtag Curzon Podcast. So that's it for this week. Do everything we just told you to do.
That'd be great.
We'll see you next week. So it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.